The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
What a disappointing day. What an absolutely disappointing day this has proven to be so far.
It's just started for you. What's going on?
No, the show's just started. So you know how everybody needs a little time off? Everybody needs a little getaway.
Yes.
Time to recharge the old batteries.
Yes.
So I had the Seahawks broadcast till about midnight on slowest preseason game in history, by the way. 23 penalty flags.
Yeah, felt like it.
So anyway, we finish up the game, and then on Friday, my wife and I say, why don't we take, because you got Labor Day on Monday, why don't we take a little four-day weekend?
Nice.
Which we haven't done in forever. So we decided to go someplace that has been a horrible disappointment destination the couple of times we've done it before. Tijuana. I don't know where that came from. San Diego. We've gone twice now. One was on our honeymoon.
And why was it so disappointing?
Well, on our honeymoon, we stayed at what I thought was a nice place, but understand, this is 1987. You couldn't just log on and get Yelp reviews.
Right.
So, but it was someplace on Mission Bay, and everybody said, well, you got to stay on Mission Bay.
Historic.
Yeah. So then, because my poor wife is beleagueredly married to me, on that honeymoon, I dragged her to the High Life Fronton in Tijuana, which I later discovered was one of the most dangerous things a man could possibly do with his wife.
Off to a good start.
Yeah. But that was 31 years ago, and God love us, we've made it. So then we went to San Diego with the girls a few years ago. And we went to SeaWorld and I don't know, just SeaWorld.
Legoland.
It wasn't there yet.
Okay.
But SeaWorld, it was kind of cold, and we were staying again out on Mission Bay, and it was still, what's the big deal?
Yeah, well, if you go, like, during spring break or winter break, it's never warm enough. I've had the worst rain, just the downpour in San Diego.
Yeah. So I thought, well, let's try one more time. And if this doesn't work, then we'll just scratch it forever. Well, we stayed at this place. It was perfect. It was a hotel that overlooked the ocean on the ocean side. So there's Mission Bay and then a strip of land and then the ocean and big waves and lots of surfers. And first night, Friday night, I got a boogie board. And I went out boogie boarding and playing in the ocean. And I'm feeling, okay, well, this is okay. And then on Saturday, I dragged my poor beleaguered wife to Del Mar Racetrack, where we played the ponies for half the day.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, did you hear about the big shooting there last night?
No.
Yeah. Did you hear about it, Nicole?
No, I did not.
Can't believe you guys didn't call to see if I was okay.
We didn't even know you were there.
Matt Johnson called me to make sure I was okay. All my daughters called me.
I did not get a news alert.
So on Saturday, they had a concert at the end of the racing by the band Simply Stupid. And we didn't stay around for that. But then on Saturday, Ice Cube was the featured performer. And apparently, while everybody was waiting for Ice Cube, gunfire ensued. And shots were fired in the air, and they had to taser the guy shooting the shots in the air. And then deputies, they took him down and rushed him to the hospital. And I don't even know if the guy's dead or alive now. But there was gunplay.
Stable.
There's breaking news. He's stable.
Oh, please.
That is. It's breaking to me. But I'm getting texts because my buddy Matt Johnson, the Sounders play-by-play guy, he was at Del Mar on Sunday. I was there Saturday. So we're trading all these messages. So, okay, we dodged a bullet, literally. We went for a beautiful bike ride about 13 miles around Mission Bay. We played in the ocean. I thought maybe, just maybe, we figured out San Diego. We stayed in this neighborhood called Pacific Beach, which is just nice and eclectic. It's kind of a surf area and lots of good burritos and hamburgers and stuff like that. And I'm feeling really good about my four-day weekend. Then this morning, I come in here, and Nicole goes, "What's wrong with you?"
Well,
which are words that I hear a fair amount from her.
I always know what's wrong.
But what?
Well, your eyes are half open.
Yeah,
I know.
I mean,
when you don't
literally
sleep.
Half masked right now. I mean, it's just like you're walking around.
I couldn't sleep.
It looks like you're going to fall asleep while talking.
I couldn't sleep on the plane. Then I get home. I have to do show prep for today. I try to go to bed after that. I couldn't fall asleep after doing show prep. But I thought that I was, you know, an accomplished enough mastery of the physical art form that nobody would notice.
Did you take some Ambien?
Well, that may have been a factor that didn't do anything in the middle of the night.
No, what it's doing is it's affecting
Taking
you
it now.
Now.
No.
So this means it could be a really entertaining show, especially entertaining.
So at 10:15, Nicole, like she's my mommy, she sends me out to my car in the parking lot to go take a nap. And I couldn't fall asleep out there, but I feel fine. I just apparently look like death warmed over today.
A little bit.
I can't do these four-day vacations. That's the problem.
You need them to be 7 weeks, or none at all?
7 weeks or not at all, yes. Is this just, this isn't right. The, what's the clock we're on? The clock, the, what's it called?
The Pacific?
No, our Tiberian clock, but I know that's not it. This is the kind of show
okay,
it's going to be, by the way. We're all on it's an inner clock.
Uh-huh.
It's got kind of a fancy Greek-type word. And I bet if I check the text messages at 98973, I bet somebody will have already told me.
It's not Antique Thera.
No.
Antique Thera.
No. No, that's not at all what I'm on.
Yeah, nobody knows what you mean. Nobody's texting.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, why don't I just get to the big lead then?
Yes.
Okay. And believe me, I'm fine. Everybody else seems to be worried about me, but I'm fine. Hold on, I'm just texting on to.
You're texting on to?
I'm texting on to the machine here. If I can get
You're
in.
Signing on?
Yeah, I'm signing on to, incorrect.
To the text
everything.
Machine.
Yeah. Okay, I got a lot of stuff to talk about, believe it or not. Let's get right to the big lead.
The big lead. Your tax dollars at work.
A woman who I really considered to be the canary in the coal mine for all of the crime and violence that has taken over Seattle. She is back in the news today. You may remember about 4 years ago, Daniela Ng, she and her family business had videotaped, surveillance video, of people who would sit in RVs directly across from their business, and they would stop, purchase heroin, I assume it was heroin, and then they would sit in the car, inject it right there in front of Daniela's family business's camera, and then they drive off, high as can be. And Daniela tried to get some attention. Now, this is a story that has gotten tremendous attention the last couple of years. But as I said, Daniela was really the first person I thought to sound the alarm. So now I see another story in the Magnolia Voice from our friend Daniela. She was trying to get to work. She has 3 little kids, including a 4-year-old. She's 8 months pregnant with her 4th kid. She says an illegal vagrant camp has created an environment so frightening she can't exit her car to enter her office. We have an illegal homeless encampment across the street from work, dealing drugs, doing drugs, defecating in the street, leaving their needles on the sidewalk and trash everywhere. They come over to our property, steal our stuff, urinate on the porch, take showers. It's the middle of the day. There are people buying drugs right outside our office. and the police are doing nothing about it. So she went to the Magnolia Voice. She came to us, and I will present her story for you. Daniela Ng will join us coming up at 12:30 this afternoon. But this is happening all around the region. I saw stories of property thefts in Tukwila, in Renton, in Tacoma this weekend. And it's something that has to stop. One reason it can't stop is because of all the money we are spending on other stuff around here.
The Big Lead, top story.
If we had an attorney general who was at all worth the oath of his office, he would protect all of the citizens of this state. But Attorney General Bob Ferguson will only protect the liberals here in Washington state. And no matter how violent, how egregious their crime, Bobby Ferguson will continue to protect them. And you know what? This is really an I told you so, because I really was truly the first person in Seattle media to tell everybody that the then director of the Seattle Department of Transportation, Scott Kubley, was either a horribly incompetent man who was far, far over his head, or a criminal. There was no other possible explanation for Scott Kubley. And now we get the word today that the streetcar project that Scott Kubley and the accused child rapist Ed Murray made their pet projects, one of many pet projects for the child rapist Ed Murray, accused. But the streetcar line, it is now more than $100 million over budget. They said they could get it done for $150. The cost is now at $252 million. Now, you choose and send me on the Online Trading Academy text line. Do you believe that Scott Kubley is a criminal who should go to prison for engineering this $100 million ripoff of the Seattle taxpayers? Do you think that Scott Kubley is so far over his head he should go to prison for incompetently costing the people of Seattle $100 million? Or do you believe that there is some other possible rational explanation that should keep Scott Kubley a free man and not making six figures continuing to rip off companies with the bike share program? But there's no other possibility. Either Scott Kubley is a criminal mastermind who engineered millions of dollars in the Pronto bike share ripoff, hundreds of millions in the streetcar ripoff, and has political protection from our horrible Attorney General, Bob Ferguson. Or Scott Kubley was that incompetent, and his boss, the accused child rapist who hired him, Ed Murray, either could not or would not oversee it, and were there kickbacks on the side for them going $100 million over budget. This is a long line of transportation projects. Sound Transit is billions and billions of dollars over budget. What they promised to the voters and what they are delivering, they're already a billion over budget getting to the east side, getting up to Northgate, to Linwood. They're a billion over budget. The Democrat Party around here has used transportation as their own personal ATM. And again, love to get your thoughts on all of this. Text me, the Online Trading Academy text line at 98973. That's 98973. And then, amazingly, I see this column in the Seattle Times today.
The Big Lead, top trending.
Danny Westney, who I like, I think he does provocative stuff. I don't want this to be perceived as a personal slam of him, but you write a column, you should be expected to have people disagree with you. Danny Westneat talked about how much safer Seattle has gotten between 1985 and 2011. I thought, well, this can't be true. So I clicked on the links he provided, and that's what he had. He had a link showing crime data through 2011 in Seattle. Why would you make a case that Seattle is a lot safer using seven-year-old data when, in the course of those 7 years, that's when Seattle has gotten exponentially worse when it comes to crime? We are the number one property crime major city, major meaning top 20, number one property crime in the United States of America, open-air drug dealing and usage everywhere you look, and Danny O'Neill's using seven-year-old data when we're coming off the worst seven-year stretch in our city's history.
Did you just say Danny O'Neill?
Did I say O'Neill?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, sorry, Danny. Love O'Neill. I like Westmead, too. But Danny Westmead, why are you using seven-year-old data to make the case that Seattle's crime rate is sharply declining? Common sense, those of us out on the streets, and certainly the more up-to-date crime stats show that we are the number one property crime city in the United States of America among major cities. And as one who grew up in the city, and I do remember what it was like on the mean streets of Ballard when I was a kid, there's no way it's safer now. There's absolutely no way that it's safer now with the open drug dealing and all of the other crimes that are taking place. So find something newer than seven-year-old data, and then we can have a conversation about all of this. That there is your Fastest 15.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
By the way, texters have definitely answered your question. We don't need, we've gotten quite a few, but Circadian? Clock?
Circadian! That's it!
Yeah.
That's what I was looking for!
They helped you out there.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you, everybody.
And did you say simply stupid? It's slightly stupid.
Yeah, I knew it was just a small fraction of stupidity, whoever it was. So, yeah, I missed that. I missed the Ice Cube concert. I missed the Ice Cube shooting. I missed it all. Coming up next, I'm going to talk to this Magnolia, wife, mom, business owner, and she's going to tell us what it's like to try to operate a business in such a safe city.
And that was the big lead, not Fastest 15.
You're just reveling in my pain, aren't you?
Oh, man.
Did I call that Fast 15?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, there's something wrong with me. Seriously. Okay, but you know what? We're going to muddle through this together. Next on the Dory Monson Show. Well, it's really interesting. I saw a column in the Seattle Times by Danny Westneat, which declared that we are safer than ever in Seattle. And I would suggest that the experience of those of us who are out on the streets is in dire contrast to that. And in fact, Danny was using seven-year-old statistics to try to make his case. Here in 2018, it's not that safe. And for a young woman, she was trying to get to her place of business, and things just turned into a nightmare. Her name is Daniela Ng, and she joins us here on Cairo Radio. Daniela, it's good to talk with you again.
Hi, Dory. Thanks for having me on.
And I say good to talk to you again because I kind of considered you the canary in the coal mine. Before anybody else was complaining and talking about this, you were coming on my show. You had video of RVs where they were openly shooting up heroin right across from your business, and you weren't getting any response. What was that, 3 or 4 years ago?
Yeah, almost 4 years ago, and this problem still going on, it seems like.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the more things stay the same. So tell me what happened when you tried to go to work the other day. Your office is just off Commodore Way in Magnolia, and what happened?
Yeah, I was in the car after picking up my son from camp, and it was just middle afternoon, 12:40, and we were going back to my work. And there were two gentlemen outside of my office just in the middle of the day stealing our water. They have already broken the handle off the spigot. We blocked all of our outdoor spigots. They've broken the handle. We're using a wrench, and one of them has a knife in his pocket that's completely visible. And I was just yelling at them to get off of my property, and they wouldn't leave. So I was on the phone with 911 while these two individuals are outside my work. And I'm 8 months pregnant, and I was just too scared to get my son out of the car and walk past these two gentlemen who would not leave my property no matter how much I yelled at them.
So you have an 8-month-old, you're 8 months pregnant, and you have a 4-year-old baby with you. Okay.
Yep. And by gentlemen, I mean these homeless addicts are living across the street from my work.
Right. The vagrant addicts who are everywhere. Okay. So you call the police. You tell them there's a crime in progress. What kind of response time do you get?
It was a little over 3 hours before someone showed up, two police officers. And once they showed up, they informed us that there was nothing that they could do about it since they were no longer on our property. Even though we have video evidence of them, and we have video of them walking right across the street, and they're still in their tent, they haven't left. And they were like, well, they're not on your property. There's nothing we can do about it anymore.
You said in the letter you wrote to Magnolia Voice, you said, we have a homeless encampment across the street, dealing drugs, doing drugs, defecating in the street, leaving their needles on the sidewalk, and trash everywhere. They come over to our property, steal our stuff, urinate on the porch, take showers. In the middle of the day, there are people buying drugs right outside our office. They go into their cars, smoke crack right in the middle of everyone's view. They are here on a daily basis. So this is just a common companion in your life.
Yeah, every day. Every day. I mean, I have some sort of video of them stealing something from somewhere, or there's a minivan that always comes that buys drugs, and you just see her smoking right in the middle of the parking strip inside her car, smoking crack. It's what it looks like. I can't tell for sure.
Yeah.
And it's just right in the open, and we've called the police on that too. The fact that they were able to go into our locked, gated property inside and take showers with our hose. I mean, they bathe themselves, brush their teeth inside our locked property, which is trespassing. And I was told it was burglary since they were able to go over a locked facility. And we have video of where these people are staying, and the police have not done anything.
You've been dealing with this for more than 4 years, because that's how long you and I have been talking about this. Are you anywhere near, Daniela, thinking, well, the police response is going to be too slow and I got to protect my family? And are you anywhere near saying you got to be armed yourself when you encounter these guys?
I have my coworkers that are armed for me. I'm way too nervous to bring in a gun into my house with. Well, I'm going to have my fourth kid now and 4 years and under. So, but I do have someone at work that is always carrying. And this day specifically where these two gentlemen were outside my work, I was trying to call my coworker, but I was also on the phone with the police. So I was texting him at the same time as I'm on the phone with the police trying to figure something out because I didn't know what else to do.
And what kind of work do you guys do there?
We do telecommunications for very large events, and some teams here in Seattle, as well as international teams and security for them.
Have you had to consider the possibility of getting out because Seattle has become such a hellhole for good, honest, hard-working, tax-paying, job-providing citizens like your family?
Our co-owner is pushing for that, very much so. He is very much wanting to move out of Seattle. And he brings it up often, especially when things like this happen. I mean, we have video of the guy urinating on our front porch, and you can't see him trying to steal the mail, but you can hear it. And then from a different angle camera, you can see him putting his hand inside our locked mailbox, trying to steal the mail right out of our front porch. And there's cameras everywhere. We say 24/7 security, but they don't care because we have these people's faces. I mean, and nothing is done.
How often does this happen? I mean, is it literally a daily occurrence?
People coming onto our property has been about a weekly occurrence, but we have video of these people stealing stuff. I know that there was another business down the street that was broken into a few weeks ago, and we have video evidence of the car leaving the scene that we handed to them. And so in our radius, it's definitely a weekly, if not every other day occurrence from our building and other buildings.
I know they're very difficult to reach as a citizen, but I also know the mayor, the city council, they listen to this radio show. What's your message to them? What's your message to Jenny Durkin and Mike O'Brien and Sally Dime Bagshaw and all the members of that city council that are listening to you and your story right now?
I think it's about time we stop being politically correct and thinking that these homeless sweeps are not a good idea, because these people are not being good citizens to the businesses around us. And we're just going to, the city of Seattle is going to start losing money the more and more these illegal addicts start stealing from us good working citizens who are trying to make a living, who are, need to pay these outrageous property taxes every month. And we need to get a handle on this addiction and the mental illness problem. And without that, I don't know how else we'll fix this.
Yeah, it's the more we spend, the worse it gets. Well, Daniela, I'm sorry we're talking again under these circumstances, but I wish you and your growing family all the best. Hope you're having lots of good times amidst all the madness of the city right now.
Great. Thanks for calling, Dory. I appreciate it.
Okay, good talking with you. That is Daniela Ng. Her company is WBL Services, just off Commodore Way in Magnolia. And that's the type of person creating jobs, paying taxes, who has been completely left out in the equation of what we need to do with this city. I'd love to get your thoughts. The Online Trading Academy text line is 98973. That's 98973. And we have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show.
Basketball Jones, I got a basketball Jones, got a basketball Jones, oh baby, ooh. Yes, I'm the victim of a basketball Jones.
Okay, message loud, clear, and received. You don't need to bully me anymore. It's
they're
all
just
in love.
Worried about you.
They're bullying me
no,
with
they're
love.
No, they're not. They're worried.
They're bullying with love. I called Brennan Mathis and Mathis Brennan. I'm just...
Wes Need O'Neill.
I don't know. I just haven't slept
since...
You just
called Russ, Dave.
Yes, I called my best friend Russ, my other best friend Dave.
He's called the big lead, the fastest 15.
Yes!
I'm going to make a montage for tomorrow.
Ah, we don't need to do that. We don't need to bother with that sort of thing. I just got to sleep more. I got to sleep more. I got to get back to the sleep clinic.
Yes, you do.
That's the bottom line here.
I thought that we had talked about this before.
Well, we did. I had friends who did an intervention, but I got a couple other things that I got to do first. I got everything in order now.
Okay.
Trying to do everything in the right order. So, the coach of the Garfield Bulldogs, Brandon Roy, has stepped aside. And we're talking pretty close to the season. We're talking just a couple of months before the season begins. And it wasn't even a big announcement. As far as I know, it was Jada Evans at the Seattle Times who just saw that they had a job posting for boys basketball coach at Garfield High School. Now, I will tell you that when I was coaching AAU ball, I wanted out of AAU ball because it was wild, wild west. It was bloodthirsty. coaches would try to steal your best players. They'd go and talk to your parents at tournaments. Well, if you ever want your daughter to get a college scholarship, she's going to have to come play for me. I'll make sure my girls go all around the country and are seen by the very best coaches. And they're sweet talk salespeople. And some of them are legit. I have some really good friends who are great AAU coaches. But that is not my gig. What I wanted to do right from the start was I wanted to take a group of neighborhood girls and I wanted to see how far we could go. And so I started coaching this group in kindergarten. Two of them started in kindergarten. Another started in second grade. The other started in fifth grade. And that's the team I took when I got the high school gig. And we got fourth in state, first time in school history. Then I got an entirely different group, and we won a state championship. But it was all neighborhood girls. We didn't have any imports. And I look at what Brandon Roy has done at Garfield and Nathan Hale before that. So he goes to Nathan Hale a year ago. He has the best high school player in the country, a guy named Michael Porter Jr. in his lap, and Michael Porter's little brother, they're joined at the hip. And I believe it was seven transfers came into Nathan Hale. And lo and behold, they go undefeated, win the state championship. They're named the unofficial national championships. Brandon Roy is coach of the year. And then after one season at Nathan Hale, he transfers to Garfield. Three of his Nathan Hale kids follow him to Garfield. And lo and behold, they win another state championship, a record of 56-1 over 2 years. And then after winning that state championship, he goes away. It's bad for sports. It's horrible for communities. These boys, they don't know each other, not like kids who grow up. If you have kids who grow up in the Roosevelt or Laurelhurst neighborhood, and they ended up going to Roosevelt High together. If you have kids who grew up in Ballard together, in West Seattle together, and they do something for their community, that's a cool thing. But this phony hardship, hopscotch from school to school, it's all meaningless. Until the WIAA starts showing some guts, we're going to have clown shows like these Brandon Roy phony championships in our state. Fastest 15 is next.